as King David did out of Psalms 103. And he literally asked the angels, "Bless the Lord, you, his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word." In Hebrews 1:14, it says also that angels are sent as ministering spirits.
Yes.
So I am going to invite the heavenly host to join us this morning in our time of worship and praise unto the Lord. So join with me. Father, we just come before your throne, Lord, and indeed, even as your servant David was speaking of these heavenly hosts, we invite your Holy Spirit and we invite these heavenly hosts to come and join with us this morning as we lift up worship before the King of Kings. And Lord, we just ask your presence here with us this morning, that Lord, the things that we speak, the things that we sing, no matter how we sing, Paul, we can offer these as a sacrifice unto the Lord. We offer up that sacrifice of praise, and we join with the angels, the heavenly hosts, who would come and worship with us. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name.
And I'm going to read Isaiah 49:13. Oh, sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O Lord, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted.
So we're going to stand and lift up our hands. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. The song that you have before you is not for now. It's for offerings, so you're welcome to just put it down. And then when offering comes, then we'll go ahead and sing that.
Okay, this is an awesome time. We get to celebrate, and this is, to me, praise too, and we get to give back to the Lord. We can't outgive him, so let's pray over the offering and rejoice that we can give. Father, thank you for this opportunity to bring our tithes into your storehouse, Lord, our tithes and offering. We are so honored to be able to give back to you, Lord. We know that you don't need anything, but we are honored and thankful that you accept our sacrifice as we give. So bless these tithes and offerings, Lord, and bless everyone here in Jesus' name. Amen.
And I just thought, wow, Lord, I just love the fact that we can rest, that God will take care of us. And I'm just like, you know, he'll take care of us no matter what. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of us and when we're weary and we need to lean upon his breast. God will take care of us. And I just thought, thank you, Lord. See, and part of that taking care of us, in his word, when he asks us to trust him and stuff, like giving his tithes and listening to the Holy Spirit, and when he wants us to give above and beyond offerings, he's saying, you know what, I will take care of you, and actually I'm asking you to also help take care of those that I'm leading you to give for. So these tithes are his tithes. These offerings are his offerings. But he's saying, in that I know that you will have many blessings. See, I'm taking care of not only you when you're obedient in your tithes and offerings, but I'm taking care of others too. So Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. These are yours, Lord God. And I truly thank you and praise you, Lord God, for this blessed time of worshiping you, praising you, honoring you, Lord, with these tithes that are yours and these offerings that are given unto you in obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And we give it with cheerful hearts, Lord God. I thank you and praise you, Lord God. May you bless these. and may you multiply them and bless each one, Lord, as we lovingly obey you with your tithes and our offerings. And I thank you once again and praise you, Lord God, that even 10% of the non-designated tithes and offerings go to missions around the world to spread your precious holy word, the gospel of truth, the good news. Thank you, Lord. We praise you and honor you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I know I didn't sing it perfectly, but you got the gist. I mean, you've got, later, I've got to show you this cute little kid. He is just so cute. But I loved hearing about the history of even how it was written. Isn't it apropos in our lives of what goes on? So I'm going to switch now to the cordless mic. And so I'm on. Yep. Good. Okay, because you know me. I don't think I have any Italian, but you would think I do in me. You know how they say the Italians talk with your hands, you know. So, but I'm a European mutt. I know that much. And so, but I want to tell you about something really exciting. And that is, I want you to just share with people that you know and pass this on. I'm not trying to steal anybody from any church, but pass this on, because on March 10th, we're going to have some guests here. And they used to be, they are Foursquare ministers, and they've been in ministry for 25 plus years. And they used to be Foursquare pastors, and then God called them into traveling and going on. And so they have memorized books of the Bible. And between he and his wife. And so we're praying right now about how God will work it out. And they are just lovingly and graciously, they're going to be in the area. And so they, one thing led to another, and they're going to be here on March 10th. God opened up the doors. And so, and all the Lord is going to say is at the end, they'll have a love offering. But then again, remember, we were talking about that, how we said, God said, go where the doors and where he leads. And then he said, when they went on this ministry, I will provide, and I do not want you to ask for any amount or this and that. I want you to just ask for love offering, and that's it. I will take care of that. See, remember I told them, I said, that's what I insist on you guys. It's not just about here. It's about we need to be obedient to the Lord. And so wherever the offerings are, it doesn't mean that you're going to be giving any offerings to them. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you pray about it, ask the Holy Spirit. Maybe the Holy Spirit will ask you to start setting some money aside to bless them. But, and if you invite anybody and they do accept, well, I hope you invite people to come, and they do accept, then please do not, you know, emphasize that, you know, this is just, and I will emphasize again that morning, it is only in obedience to the leading of what you have been put on your heart by the Holy Spirit, and that's what you do. And you may be blessing somewhere else, and God is not at that time asking you to bless this, but he's still blessing us, see, and their obedience following the Holy Spirit. But really neat couple, and just spent some time hearing about their ministry. You can go on the website and look all up a lot about his stuff, but I have some brochures, so you can pass them on, you can take them, you can pass this information on to others. So I was just really, it was really neat the way God worked that out. Now, in that, I want to talk about comfort. Remember, we have the word receive, right? And so that is a word from the Lord for our church. And so we're going back to that. We took a little break last week because I wanted to emphasize how we are in spiritual warfare. And we need to remember we're soldiers of Christ. And we need to remember that we're in a spiritual battle each day. In fact, since I did that, I was reminded quite well this past week about the spiritual battle we're in. Actually, I wasn't recognizing some of that spiritual battle. Remember I was telling you guys? Well, you know, I want to, I really do want to do what I say, not just say it and you guys do it, you know. But you know how I was saying, you know, you don't realize sometimes, you know, you're just an everyday thing and you don't realize that it's a battle, right? You're not realizing that it's a spiritual warfare. Have you ever had a point where the Lord has used somebody you love to bring you down? Actually, have you ever had it where somebody encourages you with some words, and then all of a sudden, boom, hit you with some other words right after that that tear you down? See, the encouraging words gave you comfort, and then all of a sudden, boom, they hit you with a right hook that you didn't know was coming. Well, that happened to me this past week. And as I was struggling with being very ill, as you guys know, I've been struggling with this thing. And then by orders of my husband, which was very, very hard to do, again, he was ordering me to stay in bed. And I wasn't getting better. And I was getting really down, really frustrated. And so anyways, then I received a card in the mail at like the perfect timing, and it was just like so perfect, and it was just like so neat, and it was really neat, and it had much encouraging words for me, and it gave me that comfort I needed at that time. And then went to the doctors and came back and called this friend because I was feeling more stress again because I have a deadline to come up with. And for this this breakout sessions that I'm going to be at, and they want, they said they didn't need anything until the end of the month, and then they changed their mind the midweek. I'm getting this email, and so I'm going, okay, I've got to come up with the titles of the breakout sessions and the synopsis. And I was like, okay, Lord, you know, I have a lot going on, but I just, what do you want? What do you think? So I'm feeling the stress. I'm feeling sick. Paul then on Thursday says, you can't even go to jail ministry. And I'm like, seriously. So I'm kind of like having my pity party and then crying. And then so I'm calling the jail trying to find somebody because they need, you know, I knew Fred, who does the worship there on the first Thursday night, could handle it no problem, but they need a female. And so, you know, and Paul, so that's two males, that won't work. And so then I called and they were able to find somebody to help with them. And so, okay, still not feeling, you know, super comforted over it, especially when I get back that some of them are really missed me and really want to, okay. So anyways, okay, Lord, but you're in control of that. Okay, I was being obedient to my husband and then finally decided Friday morning, I better go to the doctor's. Feeling a tightness in my chest, still not getting better. Okay, go in. Okay, no, it's not bronchitis. Okay, comforted. You know, good. That's good. But let's go ahead and put you on antibiotics just in case it's gone to, you know, bacterial. But, you know, you're sounding good and all that, you know, just. So I knew I'm in a spiritual warfare attack, right? Okay, and we're praying the armor of God on, you know, and each day. And so anyways, and then in this stress, I'm texting a friend and sending this out. And anyways, saying about, I still need though, you know, the synopsis and, you know, the stuff. And so, and then all of a sudden, boom, just, you know, kind of comforted for a while and then hit with the right hook, uncomforted. So I'm just like, wow, okay, you know, wasn't even ready for that one. And so, okay, I'm having my self-pity party again. And then Saturday morning, I had gotten a phone call and I returned the phone call. And that's when I'm talking to Don Carlson, Rod Carlson. And I was like, wow, and God's comforting me more. Well, also, I'm sorry, backtrack. Saturday night, I called somebody that the Holy Spirit led me to call that I haven't called for a long, long time. Somebody that I'd met at the prophetic gathering with Paul Keith Davis and stuff. And the Lord used that person. And we don't, you know, we're praying for each other, but we don't talk very much. And I was comforted. And the prayer that she prayed, it was like I was washed. Now, this woman is going through her own spiritual battle of cancer. And lives on the other side of the United States. And it was like, wow. Then Saturday morning, I'm comforted and encouraged more talking to Rod, hearing about the things that in ministry life that they've gone through and being obedient to the Lord and encouraging me to be obedient to the Lord as I'm sharing a little bit about our church and the story. And I'm comforted more. And so I call my friend back up and, you know, I said, you remember when you were saying you're striving, Karen? I said, yeah. And she goes, and I said, I just want you to know there was a little bit of a back burner prayer that I was having about March 10th. What do I do, Lord? Do you want me to prepare for a sermon? Do you want me to do it before? What do you want me to do for March 10th? And then that was taken care of without striving, thinking the store was closed, thinking they were going to go to somewhere else. Actually, something else was kind of on the burner. And then that totally opened up. I said, oh, wow. After the phone, I was like, oh, wow, that kind of like, that was taken care of. And then I remembered what she said, Karen, stop striving. God will take care of it. He'll give you what you need to, your titles for your breakout sessions and what you're to speak for. Because we've rolled over different ideas, and but I'm not like, you know how you, that you know. And so I was like, wow, Lord, I know I'm going to have it. I know I'm going to have it very soon for them. I thank you, Lord, and help me to stop striving and worrying about it, to be comforted. So I call her, and she goes, guess what? What? She goes, I was going through a spiritual battle. She said, I was going through a spiritual battle after we got off the phone because I was encouraged by what God's doing in your life, but discouraged on, wait a minute, God, what about me? I've done this, this, I've been here, I've done this, and what about me? So in the morning, she was going through that. She goes, now I have a chance. So she was showing me in recognition that, hey, I've blown it too. And it's like, wow, we were both like floored by how the enemy, it's so subtle, huh? How he comes in, and a strong Christian like she hasn't seen much spiritual warfare and gone in third world countries and missions trips and seen God work in her life and even on the East Coast mightily. We were talking about it, and it's like, wow, it is so subtle that comfort can go. And he's saying, it's there. My comfort is there for you. I just need you to receive it. And I need you to continuously receive it. Because guess who's trying to keep stealing it, taking it away? And sometimes it's successful, blindsided. You didn't realize it, but it's still there for you. Just continue to receive it. It's there. So I was looking up comfort in the Webster's Dictionary. And I was going to the 1828. I love the 1828 because he uses scripture often to back up. And in it, he says it is to strengthen, to invigorate, to cheer, or enliven. There was a gentleman named Bacon who said, light excelleth in comforting the spirits of men. Do you remember our scripture? John 3:21, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. He is our life, and he is the light of the world. And no matter what darkness is going on, as we continue to trust in him, as we continue to receive his comfort, that helps us to be that light that excelleth in comforting the spirits of others. But we have to be willing to receive. We have to be willing to recognize when we're not resting in what is ours, his comfort. Repent. And then go on. She says, Karen, I need to repent right now because I'm recognizing that I fell into that trap. So, then another one is in Genesis 18, verse 5, it says, comfort ye your hearts. I love that. Another description is to strengthen the mind when depressed or enfeebled, to console, to give new vigor to the spirits, to cheer or relieve from depression or trouble. We all know Job. Chapter 2, in verse 11, it says, his friends came to mourn with him and to comfort him. Now, We know that story, don't we? He got comfort for a little while, and then what happened? A right hook. Yeah, a right hook. But he eventually received total and complete comfort from the Lord. The definition of comfort in the Merriam-Webster Online Dictionary says to give strength and hope to someone, to cheer them up, to ease the grief or trouble of someone, to console. It's not only a noun of where you're at, but it's an action of what we can do for others. If we receive the light that God has given us, we can then be that light to others, and that light gives the comfort. Comfort also says relief from pain and ease. The word signifies properly new strength or animation. That's me. And relief from pain is often the effect of strength. When we're in pain, doesn't it affect where we're at? But do we not have Jesus, the divine healer, the great physician who is there ready for each of us to receive that healing and that strength that he gives us? Does that mean that we'll be relieved of everything? Not always. Look at the Apostle Paul. So many wonders and miracles, yet he had a thorn in his flesh that he was constantly praying for to be removed. And God said, no, because when you're weak, then you're strong. Strong in me. See, we need to remember that. And that's what we're here for each other, is to remind each other, as I was tested through this week. That it's like, wow, Lord. And constantly, it's like, it was incredible the battle I was in. Then comfort also is a relief from the distress of the mind and the ease and quiet which is experienced when pain and agitation and affliction ceases, right? So it is something, we've all been with pain, we've all been with trouble, we've all been with agitation. We've all had affliction, haven't we? But boy, isn't it wonderful when it ceases? See, he's saying as this one right here, I took some of these online, and a lot of them say God will take care of you through every day or all the way. But I love this one, my burdens. Remember the trash can, you know, but this is like a baggage, and I love the precious moments, and he's going, here they are, Lord. Here's my burdens. Take them. And he says, yeah, I will. Because see, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Because basically he's the lead ox that is taking that heavy burden and the one that's steering. He's the one that's really taking the load. You're just kind of along for the ride. And it's like, wow, Lord. Yeah. Thank you. Because it also talks about it's a support. And it also says that another definition is that which gives strength and support in these times. See, remember what we talked about the rod, the word? This is our strength and our support. And this is our comfort to know that it's not about us. I was, in my devotion time, I was reading about Moses. I was like, wow. I was like, do you remember God using the rod so much? And he delivered the Israelites. And they saw the hand of God. They saw that the deeds were done because of the obedience to him. And they were only done because of their obedience to him. And they were only done because it was God doing them. See, they walked in the midst of the challenges, comforted by a God that loved him and was delivering them. And they walked across that Red Sea on dry ground. And then instantly, it wasn't dry for them that were following them, the enemy. He went before, and then he went behind. He was a light to them, but a cloud of darkness to the enemy. I was like, wow, Lord. You were there, comforting them, offering your comfort, and they had it when they would choose to receive it and rest in it, and they didn't have it when they choose to let it go back on the ground and not carrying it with them, holding that precious gift of comfort that the Lord had with them, for them. In Psalm chapter 119, I would like you to turn to that. I'm going to read verses 45 through 56. I love Psalm 119. I know you guys have heard that many times, but I love the Word of God, but I love this. And 49 through 56 says, this is New King James Version, "Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. The proud have me in great derision, yet I do not turn aside from your law, your precious holy word. I remember your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself." Why? Because they went to the word and they received the word and they wanted to just not hear it, but they wanted to be doers of the word. They wanted to take it, digest it, and be obedient to the word. That is how they were comforted. "Indignation has taken hold of me because of the wicked who forsake your law." And now verse 54 of Psalm 119. "Your statutes have been my songs," your precious holy word, "they have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage." We're all on a pilgrimage. We're all on a journey onto our way home, our final destination. "I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. This has become mine because I kept your precepts." This is how people will see the light, and we will be able to be that light to others. And they will see that the things that we do are only because of Him, just as the Israelites saw and the Egyptians saw the favor of God and His hand upon them, and they saw the light. See, the Israelites were comforted. Do you not think that some of them wanted that comfort that they had? Some have received that. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, it says, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever." This is Jesus. This stands forever. This is ours for our comfort. Because Psalm 119, verse 89 says, "Your word is settled in heaven." In verse 152, it says, "Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you founded them forever." Verse 160 says, "The entirety of your word is truth, not lies. He cannot lie." That is a comfort. And Matthew 24, 35 and Luke 21, 33 says, "My words will by no means pass away." See, heaven and earth will, but not His words. The comfort is steady and remains. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, as Hebrews 13:8 says. And this word is ours, comforting us, available for us. Available for us to give us the strength that we need, the energy that we need. Remember, we're supposed to be four square. We're supposed to be strong, standing in His word, standing firm. And we have that. Why? Because we have the shoes for the preparation of the gospel of peace. See, if we're receiving all that Jesus has for us in that armor, was I walking in that the whole past week? Nope. I kind of accidentally didn't realize that I was slipping off those shoes and taking them off because I wasn't feeling the comfort of the Lord. I wasn't feeling His peace. Then I'd be reminded, okay, yep, okay, and then I'd get it again, and then I'd lose it, but then I'd get it again. What was I doing? I was persevering. I wasn't giving up and looking to Him for the comfort. He is the ultimate comforter. I wasn't just throwing in the towel, saying, oh, well, I blew it. Didn't even recognize that right hook. Didn't even recognize that it was a spiritual warfare. I didn't do that. I cried out to Him. I cried out to Him and He heard me. The Hebrew definitions from the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. Well, it has lots of verses in the Bible that have the word comfort. And the one that is used the most is 60 times in of the 5162 definition in the Exhaustive Concordance. And I'm not going to read how to say it in Hebrew. But it says to sigh. An example is to breathe strongly, by implication to be sorry, in a favorable sense, or it can be in an unfavorable sense. See, we saw Job being comforted in a favorable sense, and then it was unfavorable. So they were words. And then also it means to comfort oneself. See, it goes on to say to ease oneself, it says to repent. That is where we're, when the Holy Spirit asks us to repent, see, we're recognizing we blew it, and we're receiving the comfort from the blood that was shed for us and that peace. We are being comforted by Him that is already there for us. And then the Psalm 108:2 is used for Job 9:27, where it says to break off or loose in favorable or unfavorable sense, to desist from grief or invade from destruction, to comfort, to recover, to strengthen. It was like, wow, okay. And then another one in the Hebrews part, the Old Testament, it said compassion or solace, comfort, consolation. That was for Psalm 94, verse 19. If you could turn to Psalm 94, verse 19. And it says, I like this one. It says, and the multitude of my thoughts, the New King James Version says anxieties, and the multitude of my anxieties within me, thy comforts delight my soul. God, the refuge of our righteousness, He is our righteousness. Do you see how awesome our God is? How He is there for us? See, actually, if you would draw from His word, one of them is Psalm 91. Do you remember when we welcomed the angels here? Psalm 91 talks about that. An awesome Psalm. Because see, we're not alone. Not only do we have the promise of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, but we have His angels. And Psalm 91 is awesome to claim that. But Psalm 94, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongs, O God, to whom vengeance belongs, shine forth, rise up, O Judge of the earth, render punishment to the proud. Lord, how long will the wicked triumph? They utter speech and speak insolent things. All the workers of iniquity boast in themselves. They break in pieces your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob understand. Understand, you senseless among the people, and you fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, shall he, the Lord God Almighty, not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he, the Lord God Almighty, not see? He who instructs the nations, shall he not correct?
He who teaches man knowledge? The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance, but judgment will return to righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would soon have settled in silence. If I say my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity, which devises evil by law, have fellowship with you? They gather together against the life of the righteous and condemn innocent blood. But the Lord has been my defense and my God, the rock of my refuge. He has brought on them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. The Lord our God shall cut them off. Talk about comfort. Talk about something we can all go to and claim is ours. Talk about this has so much power in what his word offers. This has so much power in what we have in Jesus. We have enemies. We have adversity. There is darkness. But it's saying he sees it. He knows. And he is the one that's protecting us. It is his battle. Remember last week's Bible verse? It's foolish when we don't take this and heed it, our opening scripture. But boy, God loves it because he sees what our hearts are. And he sees if we're looking to him, humbly wanting to be his servants. And he's saying, watch out, because I'm going to strongly defend you. I am there for your back. I am there helping you. Strong help. Remember we were singing worship? Strong! He is not weak. He is all powerful. This is a tremendous comfort that we can claim. And this is ours. But often, when we're down and out, we're not there. Do you remember King David? Can you imagine? He had the promise of God. And then he's going, well, where is it? Hello. Because instead, I'm being obedient. I'm honoring just like you're telling me to do. I'm loving you, serving you, and being obedient to others and honoring others, even those in authority that have totally turned against me for no reason whatsoever. And you promised me and you anointed me. Where are you? Was he crying out to God? Yeah. He had at one point everybody turn against him. Even those that were with him at one point because of a decision. But he turned to God for his strength. He cried out sometimes, not feeling he was there. And then eventually it's God saying, I'm there. I'm there. See, his comfort is always there, but sometimes we're not always feeling that comfort. There are tons of scriptures in the New Testament that offer us about who he is, what we have in him. And then the Greek definitions, once again, to have courage, be of good cheer. Another, to exercise courage, to be bold, to have that confidence, to be confident in. Why? Because we have the comforter in us, the promise that Jesus said, he is with us. So nothing in Romans 8, it talks about nothing can take us away from the fullness of his love except for us. If we're not choosing to abide in that. Because, see, when we're abiding in him, wanting to be obedient, that's when that ointment, better than Neosporin, is there to help heal. See, our God is a God of comfort. And he is there knowing that sometimes it takes a while for something to heal. But you know they have that new cream out that's supposed to take the scars away? And he's going, my blood has an anointment on it, has an anointing power that can remove those scars. See, that's my ultimate comfort that I offer each and every one of you. That is mine to give to you. But you have to receive it and apply it. See, you have to allow it to be put on by him, by his strength, what he has for each and every one of us. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 22, do you remember the woman who was healed? It says, but she had 12 years of bleeding. It says, but Jesus turned to him and he saw her and he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith, your faith, has made you whole. And then we have the blind man, blind Bartimaeus. He's healed. Mark 10:49, and it talks about that. How, be of good comfort. Rise, he says. You're healed. And he says, because of your faith. See, remember, we just need that mustard seed size of faith because it attaches to his faith, who is always faithful. And he's the one that does the healing. It's not about us. It's about him. He is to be glorified. He is our comfort. He is always there for each and every one of us. I love it in John 14, where it talks about the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. John 15, John 16, our Comforter. And then we have Acts 9:31. Then he had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and they were edified and walked in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Where did their comfort come from? The Holy Spirit. What was the Holy Spirit referring to them to receive that comfort? The Word. Because he says, I will teach you all things, and I will remind you of everything that Jesus has said to you. I will guide you into all the truth. I will even tell you of things to come because it is for your comfort. When I'm telling you not to do things, it's not because I don't love you. It's for your comfort. He is there for each and every one of us, ready to comfort us. And do you remember John chapter 11 when Martha and Mary, they're hurting because Lazarus, their brother, has died. And people, it says, came to comfort one another. See, that's what we're here for, huh? See, we come alongside and we're helping each other. We've been there for each of our challenges. And that's why it says don't forsake the fellowship of other believers. So many are doing that in the last days. And he's saying, no. This is the time that I want you. Because see, not only do I have comfort for you and you're receiving it, but hello, they may have been hit by a right hook, didn't realize it, and they may need some help. And you're there to help because you are part of my hands and feet. Not only are my angels, not only are my Holy Spirit there for you, not only is my precious word, not only is my blood covering you, but I have empowered each one that are covered by the blood to be that light, to be that comfort to others who are hurting, to be that one that is showing others of what I have for you, the comfort that only I can give. The comfort that is outlasting, the comfort that will remove every single scar, every single hurt, every single pain. I am the one. Do you remember when you're a kid and you go, oh, I got an owie? Do you remember that? What happened? You'd go to a parent or a grandparent, and all they'd have to do was kiss the owie, and it would be all better. Well, see, that's why I purposely did this one right here with the children, because we are God's children. And he's saying, let me kiss you with the holy kiss, a kiss that
provides everything that I've given to you. A kiss that is painted in red with the blood of my son, my precious son. A kiss that is anointed with that anointing oil, that cream that is better than Neosporin. A kiss that brings the healing that will last forever, that only you can get through me and by me through my son. For I have all comfort, all my fullness is in my son, and my son is there to help you. See, I will take care of you, for I love you. Let me kiss your Owie. Let me make it better, because I am the great physician. But you have to be willing to come to me. You have to be willing to hear what I say, do what I say, receive what I say. And that's when you will receive the comfort I have for you. So before we do our closing song, I have a little something for you. See, we've got to apply the comfort as we receive it. It's going to take a little effort, but not much effort. He's given it to us to be the one that is comforted, the one that is loved, the one that is received by him. And you know what? He's the best great physician because it's free. It is his grace. It is his grace that was bought by a price. But for us, it's free. It's just we have to receive it. And are we willing to? But see, that little bit of application is that time in prayer, the time of seeking him, the time of going to the doctor's office, you might say, and the prayer time. This is why I have this here. Just that mustard seed faith. And that time in going to his word and applying the ointment, the Neosporin when it is needed, or the food, the strength that were needed. That is what this is. Because sometimes we're needing a cane to get along. But he's saying, it's there. And sometimes we're needing his comfort for each of us. But you have to be willing to apply it. And keep it on. And when one day you're in heaven, you will see there is no scars. You're totally healed. You're totally comforted. Isn't it awesome that we have in him? Pastor Janet, can you do a closing song? And remember, if you want more prayer, please be willing to go to Dick or Chris and receive more prayer. But we'll do do you mind if we do just a song and then I'll do, yeah. Okay, and then I'll do the prayer.
Just going to do the chorus of Breakthrough as we proclaim, especially Amen. After what we've heard today, that Lord, you are brighter than my darkest
Amen.
Night, stronger than my toughest fight.
Amen.
Just one touch from you.
Amen.
My king, my friend.
Amen.
And I'll never be the same again.
Amen.